pandemonium reigns.
Yo, what is up, family and friends? It's your boys. We're back again. I'm Dan, he's Mike. This is Pandemonium Reigns. We're going to talk about playoff and all things...
Playoff?
Sorry. That got me. That came out of the point. And there goes the script. Okay. Playoffs? That was a really good impersonation, too. Like, that's why...
We didn't discuss it. It just flew in my head and out, you know, out it came.
It got me. We're going to talk all things playoff. We're going to break this thing down into two segments. And in this first segment, what we're going to do is talk about if we were NCAA commissioners, how would we structure the playoff? What would we do? And then we're going to talk about what we believe. Well, hang on. I don't want to put words in your mouth yet. What I believe is the stupidity of the 14-team playoff. You're nodding your head yes, so I'm going to go ahead and say that Michael thinks it's stupid as well. We're going to talk about it, and I hope that through this process, for the expansionists out in the world who want to further increase the size of the playoff, that we at least... That we at least get you thinking a little bit on, hey, here's why maybe you don't want to do this. Okay? So,
yep.
Here we go. First segment. How you doing, by the way? You look really good. This is my second podcast of 2024. You've been doing some off-season work. You're the man. You're beautiful. I feel like I've seen you in forever.
I'm doing okay. Feeling old, feeling busy, nowhere near as busy as I've heard your schedule is, but feeling busy, but doing good yourself.
I'm better now than I'm crazy. With you.
Hey, there it is. There it is.
Playoffs. Let's get into it. So, as our listeners have heard me say approximately 100,000 times, if it was going to stay at four, which in essence, I think it should, simply due to the fact that it should be hard to get into the playoffs. This is not college basketball. And if you're going to use that example of, well, look how exciting college basketball is. And okay, it's exciting, but it's a whole different game. It's a whole different playing field. And at the end of the day, who's typically in your Final Fours? Your Kentuckys, your North Carolinas, your Dukes, your Kansases, your UConns. You typically get the Blue Bloods back in it anyway. So there goes that idea. Nonetheless, in essence, at the core of it, I'm going to say take a four-team playoff, keep it in neutral sites, have the BCS calculate your top four. However, that's not the world we live in. The farthest, if I am commissioner, the farthest you're ever going to get me to go is to six. You're not going to get me past six. I don't like past four. The reason I love four, again, is because it's got to be hard. We're talking about the national championship. It's got to be hard. What you do in the regular season has to matter. As you so beautifully said when we were talking about this one of the last times, win your games. Okay, there it is. Then you can get to the playoff. But here it is. So six seed playoff where your number one and your number two get a bye. And I'm really stealing content here because I heard J.D. Pickell talk about this and I thought it was so beautifully thought through that I'm really just regurgitating all the things that he said. I won't take credit for this, but I think it's beautiful. So one and two seeds get byes. Mm-hmm. And then your 3, 4, 5, and 6, though, that first round is going to be played on home turf. So imagine when LSU's travel up to Ann Arbor and your Clemson's travel over to, you know, Norman, Oklahoma and stuff like that. Okay. I think that's must-see TV. But the reason that I want to keep it at six is because I still want the regular season to matter when Ohio State takes the short drive up to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and plays that game. That game should matter. The Iron Bowl, yep. Tuscaloosa and Auburn, when they travel back and forth, that should matter. You know what? If Tennessee starts to enter themselves annually into the conversation and it's 4 seed or 6 seed, it should matter when they're finishing the season in Lexington, Kentucky. It should matter. Clemson and South Carolina, that should matter. Florida and Florida State, that should matter. These regular season games should matter. But nonetheless, here we are. So 1-2 seeds get a bye. First round is home turf. And then as you advance to the next round, when your 1-2 seeds are playing the games again, you're looking at neutral sites. So you're looking at your here in my ideal world, you take the Sugar Bowl, you take the Cotton Bowl, you take the Fiesta Bowl, and you take the what's left? The Orange Bowl? Fiesta, Sugar, Cotton, okay? And you rotate those annually for those games, and then your national championship, which I'm totally cool with this, every year is played in Pasadena, California at the Rose Bowl, okay?
Yep.
Those seeds go to your conference winners, and then I guess your fifth or your sixth, however that would work out, that's an at-large bid.
Yeah.
Your regular season still matters. Because the regular season matters, the conference championship games matter, because if you don't win that, you don't get in. I think that should matter. Otherwise, why are we playing it? And then let's take it on to Pasadena. And one more thing before I pass this off to you. Let's give an incentive to the players who are in things like the Pop-Tart Bowl and the Cheez-It Bowl. And you know what? If that team wins that game, there's some kind of, you know, financial incentive or, you know, some kind of gift, you know, to the players, whatever, to try and minimize opt-outs. Because I am not one of those people that say, oh, well, the Cheez-It Bowl doesn't matter. Well, I think it matters, because you know what? 99% of us are tuning in to the Pop-Tart, to the Cheez-It Bowl. So you don't get to say things like it doesn't matter and then you watch it. That doesn't make any sense to me. Order to try to make those games matter, air quote, more, create an incentive. You know what? We're already paying them. We have no boundaries on that. So let's get that sponsor, Cheez-It, Pop-Tart, whoever it may be. Let's create an incentive so there might be more reason for them to want to play.
I love it. Love it. Yeah. No, I love it, man. I'm with you in terms of, I think four is the guideline for me. We're basing it on four every year for me. If I'm the commissioner, if I win the election over you and Josh Pate and Joe Schmo, we're staying at four. Okay.
Yeah.
Now here's what we're going to do, because what we think that we have in the room of old presidents and ADs and decision makers that decide on your four currently, what we think that we have, but what's missing is critical thinking. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. We're missing out on the critical thinking. But what we're going to do when four doesn't work, which has happened, twice, that four has not worked perfectly.
You can't even say outright that it didn't work. It didn't work.
Correct.
What is it? Allegedly, or you know, there's an argument smoothly? that it didn't work. Yeah. And the reason you could argue that it didn't work, air quote, is because you had opinions in the room, not a
opinions
clear cut
human
way
error
to get
in the room.
Yeah,
yeah. Those are the reasons that it didn't work, and you know, because as much as you and I have orange flowing through our veins instead of red, you know, just extrapolate that out through the fan base of college football. That's where the issues come in. And let's not mention that those presidents are the ones making the decisions, which lead to problems. But baseline of four every year. Okay. What we're going to do though, because we are, when you and I are in office, we are going to critically think. Okay. And if four is not going to fit the bill smoothly, okay, we're going to expand to six. We're going to do it last minute if we have to, okay? It's conference championship week, and we've got 12 undefeated teams. Play with me here, right?
Yep.
We're going to have six winners. Just play with me here. We're going to have six winners that are undefeated once the dust settles. We're going to have a 16 playoff. I love your model of buys, 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5 on the higher seeds turf before we start traveling to bowl sites. Okay. If there's ever a scenario where we need to go to 8, we're going to go to 8 and we're not going to go to 16 or 12 or 14. You know what I mean? That's, we're going to increase it by a smidge. We're just going to include the teams, the Florida States that we need to include. We're not going to include 2 and 3 lost teams because there's never a reason in this sport where that needs to happen. Never going to happen. We're going to start at 4 every year. I love your idea of the BCS deciding the order of the 4. I don't see any reason why we don't do that. You know, if the systems are glitched, they don't work like they used to because it's been 10 years, it's been 11 years now, then okay, we will pull some talking heads. We'll broadcast it. We'll have some, you know, some oversight. We'll take some of that bias that we perceive that is in the room out. Mm-hmm. We will do it publicly. We will decide at that point 1 through 6 or 8, whatever. I don't ever see the need for us to have an 18 playoff to decide a champion. 4 is where you're going to do that from. Just like you're saying with the Final Four for March Madness, it's going to be one of the top 4. And the day that it's not, I don't even know what my reaction is going to be, because clearly that team had issues that they ironed out. They had injuries that they ironed out mm-hmm. after their second or their third loss. That's what propelled them to, you know, Georgia, their quarterback comes back from an injury, something like that. That's what's going to create a 2 or 3 loss system, winner, excuse me, is someone's going to bounce back from something that was afflicting them at the time where they lost their games, and they're going to come back with a loaded roster. And, you know, you're not fixing anything. You're not including anyone. You're allowing the loaded team to stay right there at the top. Now, if they run through their gauntlet, I think they should be there, but that's where you and I have been on the same page so many times before. Win your games. But win to me, games. It's at 4 or it's at 6, but I'm gonna have a system when I'm in office where it's variable. And if we need to expand it out, we're going to have the flexibility to do so, because I know that, you know, whatever December 30th or New Year's Eve is, that there's probably not an NFL game going in the Cotton Bowl or in the Sugar Bowl. We're going to have the flexibility to do these things. It's on an artificial surface anyway. It's not on grass where you have to take care of it. But guess what we've done before? We've played a Music City Bowl, and then the Titans have played like the next day. We've done those things. Yep. We're grown-ups. We can make them happen. The grounds crew, guess what? They get paid dollars for a job just like you and I do.
Exactly.
We can make it happen, and there's really no reason why we can't. So that's the way we're going to handle it, man. We're going to handle like grown-ups. We're going to hurt some feelings, because if you lose 2 to 3 games, you're not holding up that trophy. Not in my system, you're not. And in reality, you're not going to hold up that trophy anyway, because, you know, let's just play this out for 2025, right? Or 2024, excuse me. It's a 12-team system. Missouri gets a rematch against, well, they don't actually play Georgia this year, but let's just say they did. Let's just say they play Georgia twice this year. They're losing both times. Ole Miss, they do play Georgia this year. They're probably losing both times if they get there, but we'll see, right? That, you know, if they win the rest of their games or the applicable number of games to get there, we'll see. But your Alabama that we've had, your Clemson when they were up there, your Georgia currently, they're probably winning that game, because at the end of the day, your 85 dudes ain't their 85 dudes.
Right. Yeah. I want to put a bow on this by making sure that I'm clear when I say, in order to grab one of these 6 spots in my system, it's not, okay, we've got 6 open spots, let's get a group of people together and let's figure out who are the best 6 to get in. No. You've got a clear line that you have to get over in order to attain that spot. Win your conference. Yeah. And what that does, it takes your Florida States of 2023. They did their job. They did it as a team. It was not dependent upon one guy. Hello, yep. Jared Verse, Jaheim Bell, Trey Benson, Keon Coleman, Johnny Wilson. It was not just dependent upon on Jordan Travis. So win your conference and you get in. Now, how does that six spot work? You know, not really sure. Maybe you actually expand to six Power Five conferences. You resurrect the Big East, right? And you get some of these conferences that are currently from 16 back down to 12, you know?
Yeah, or 10,
And you put West Virginia's and your Cincinnati's and your Pitt's back in a Big East, and so maybe you create a sixth power conference. And something that I think that I would also do that we've mentioned in the past is these conferences don't have different media deals. Let's get rid of that. That's the one thing that we need to be modeling after the NFL is that, and that's the one thing that we're choosing not to do, and we're just adopting everything else and making it more like the NFL. We already have that, but let's follow their model and let's put them all on the same media deal so we don't have this discrepancy of this school jumping over here and then back that. I mean, it should be based on geography and rivalry and history.
Tradition.
I mean, it's the foundation of this game. But anyway, we've just taken that and said, whatever, we'll create new rivalries. You know what?
Yeah, and I'm with you. If we're going to continue to play conference championship games, which are, you know what, if we're opting out of bowl games, why aren't we opting out of conference championship games? Yeah, I'm going to come back for the playoff, but that one doesn't matter. So I'm not going to – and we might end up playing them again in a month. So I'm not going to play that one, but I'll hit them on the second time.
Thank you.
Eliminate that game or make it an elimination game, like you said. Said that. You didn't say those words, but you said that.
My thought is, so you've got a clear-cut way to get in. And another factor there is if it's down, you know, if there's controversy, like maybe at that at-large position, say Alabama's a one seed and LSU is being considered for that at-large bid.
Mm-hmm.
LSU doesn't get it because they've lost to a team inside the playoff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that stuff should matter. I mean, we're going to travel to, actually, I shouldn't use that as an example. Let's go back 10-ish years when Tennessee did a home and home with Oklahoma. If there's by chance that Oklahoma or Tennessee are headed into that playoff, which one do we choose? Oh, the one that won the head-to-head, and the other one doesn't get to go because we've already played that game. And you make a great point with the whole conference championship deal. So why not opt out? If it doesn't matter, I'll just sit out and I'll wait for – I mean, it just – you. They have created an absolute mess with the way that they have structured this stuff. And so, again, I'll just put a bow on it by saying this. Let's hope that this drama between – schools in the NCAA continues to develop, and we can just put a nail in the coffin and basically these schools secede from the union and we can develop our own. Because of all this crap, I know this feels random, but because of all this crap, we're gonna have a brand new college football game. Bad news. It's not gonna have, you know, the Biletnikoff and your Outland Trophy. And some people don't care. I care. Like that is a part of our game. And because you move forward on these things and you didn't set parameters and boundaries and you're just doing whatever you think you should do, and you got a bunch of old heads in the room who I'm not sure know what's happening inside of the sport, and you're letting them choose how it's being played and how it's unfolding. For the lack of a better word, screw you and stay out of my game. Like this is something that we love and we cherish and we adore, and all you care about, man, this has turned a corner that I did not plan on. And all you care about is how much more money you can get because you wear a suit and a tie. Man, screw you. Get your hands out of my game. The game was not broken.
Yeah.
It wasn't broken. It didn't need to be fixed. It didn't need to be fixed.
No.
I'll conclude.
So basically, we've just outlined the case as well for why we need term limits in these things. I'm kidding, but no, but no kidding. At the same time, you know, you've aged out. You are not, you know, your values are not the values of the people doing the stuff, the coaching the sport, playing the sport, administrating over the sport. You've aged out. I'm sorry. Enjoy your retirement. It'll be very nice, I'm sure.
There you go. You know how, sorry, I have another thought.
You're good.
You know how when overtime is set to take place, whether in the NFL or college or really any sport outside, well, let's stick to football. In college football or NFL, when overtime, they'll post the rules, right? Here's how this is going to take place. Why can't we have that kind of clear instruction when getting into the playoff, as opposed to saying, let's take the best? Well, that's your opinion. Here we are. We're right back on it. What you do on the field has to matter. And what you do on the field has to buy you a spot into something that should be extremely hard to get into. And I'm so exhausted with the argument. Well, do you know how hard it is to go 12 and 0? I do. I mean, well, not well, I personally, I don't know, but I know enough to say it's been done. Done on multiple occasions. And a matter of fact, it's been done, say, what, Clemson 2018, where not only did they go 12 and 0, they went 13 and 0 after winning their conference. Then they went 14 and 0 after winning, the first round, and then 15 and 0 after winning the playoff. I know it can be done because it has been done. So now, so you're going to expand this thing as we begin to jump into segment two, right? We're going to expand this thing, and you're going to allow what you say. Oh, your Cincinnati's of the world should have a shot, right? Well, now in my mind, you've made it more difficult because now they're going to have to go through round one, round two, round three. They're not built for that. So what makes you think this is not basketball? This is not your best 5-on-5. This is your best 22. Well, you could arguably say more your best 40 versus your best 40, because of depth and how much that matters. And it's football in the postseason is not about who gets the hot hand. That's basketball, right? Who can knock down shots in March? That's God, if Tennessee's not an example right now, I don't know what is. We can't knock down. We lost the way we did because we couldn't hit shot. We were 20% something from the field. That will lose you games. Okay. You know what? You know what? In physics, in football, you can flip a switch. You can say, listen, at the end of the day, I can do my best to out-muscle you. I can go back to fundamentals. I can do my best just to get underneath you, and I don't have to worry about if the shot falls or not. It's less about, football. You can introduce more steam and more effort. You can do that in basketball, but you know what? You still need the shot to fall. So that this man, we didn't talk about this. I have started
I see
sounding
no
off.
issues with it.
And this has taken a turn that I did not expect it to. So here we are.
Hey, we're here. It's good.
That's good. Let's go ahead and let's switch over to segment two, as we talk about the stupidity of the 14-team playoff. But before we do, I want to tell you about our friends over at Live Oak Landscapes, owner Paul Pruitt. It's my boy. Go to the gym with him. Good dude. Commercial and residential lawn maintenance, rental lawn maintenance, weed control, mosquito and gnat spraying treatments, landscape design, installation, patio installation, fire pits, paver, flagstone patios, fireplaces, retaining walls, leaf removal, irrigation installation, commercial builds, and he might even give you a back rub while he's there. He's working all over Gainesville, St. Simons, Jekyll Island, Brunswick areas. If you need any kind of beautiful work done in your yard, hit up my boy, Paul Pruitt, and Live Oaks Landscapes, 678-591-9802. I tell you this, the dude is a Christian. He loves what he does. He loves the Lord, and he wants to do you right. 678-591-9802. Okay, so let's get into this. Second half of the episode. Man, I've missed this.
Oh yeah. This hits good, doesn't it?
This feels real good. So I wanted to talk about this because I follow this account on Instagram called CFB Kings, and this is probably one of my favorite follows on social media. Go give this guy a follow, CFB Kings, and he made a post back on, oh gosh, this was just 3 days ago. I thought it was way longer than that. So that's going to be March 16th. Go check it out. And he basically talks on the stupidity of expanding the playoff from 12 to 14. And just how absolute moronic it is. And I'm going to give this guy credit because he does all the dirty work. He does all the research on why this is just absolutely outrageous. So Mike and I are going to walk through this. We're going to go from 2014 to 2023. Appreciate you hanging out with us while we do this. I want to begin this. I don't know if are you in the process of pulling this up? Is that what you're doing? I see you looking down.
Oh, I'm in it. I'm in it. I'm deep in this post.
The second slide on this thing is this. It says teams that finish number 13 or 14 in the final college football playoff top 25 of each season from 2014 to 2023 went a combined 0-12 against teams that made the four-team college football playoff. If that doesn't scream, it should be hard to get into the playoff. I don't know what does. I get it. Some listeners are out there saying, well, you know what? It's any given Saturday. Hey, dude, you're right. 0-12. 0-12.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mama says proof's in the pudding.
Absolutely, because the other thing about any given Saturday is that means that a playoff team or a bubble playoff team, someone competing for a playoff spot lost to, Sam Houston State. It doesn't mean they lost to number 13 or 14. Like, that does happen. It hasn't happened. But historically, that's happened. Those teams have won games.
Yeah.
But I've got the perfect example for you right here. Just jumping into this is 2021 Oregon that finished 10-3. They lost two games. Two of their three losses were to Utah, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is they lost to them by 59 combined points in two games.
That's ridiculous.
Over the regular season and Pac-12 championship game.
And one of them was the Pac-12 championship game, which is a game that should matter.
It should matter. That team should not then go, oh, well, we're going to get them next time when a championship's on the line. That's not how it goes.
I'm pissed. If I'm in the playoff, it's already hard to beat the same team twice in a row, and you want me to do it for a third time?
Now
if
you want me to do it three times.
If anybody in the country
that
could do it, though, it'd be Utah.
It would be Utah, and they would embarrass them again.
Absolutely. Hey, so let's back up. Let's rewind. Let's go to 2014.
All right.
We'll do our best to relatively go through this. If you are not driving, go ahead and launch Instagram. Go to CFB King's account. Hit follow on this guy. He's got awesome content. Go to the post on March 16th and walk through this with us. 2014, you have 14th-ranked UCLA and 13th-ranked Georgia, who both finished 9-3, win your games. I love this. Stanford lost by 2 to unranked Utah. Lost by 12 to unranked Oregon. Lost by 21 to unranked Stanford. They beat, these victories. Beat 5-7 Virginia. Virginia hasn't been good since like 1994. Beat them by 8. Beat 6-7 Texas by 3. Whoop-dee. Beat 5-7 Cal by 2. Beat 2-10 Colorado by 3. That combined is a whopping 16 points over teams at 5-7, 6-7, 5-7, 2-10.
Terrible. Terrible.
And then you get down to Georgia. This one, I think, makes a stronger argument. I love this.
Yeah.
Lost to 6-6 South Carolina by 3. Lost to 7-5 Florida by 18. Lost to Georgia Tech by 6. And beat us, who finished 7-6, by the way, with that 7th win being over Iowa in the Tax Slayer Bowl.
Tax Slayer.
Beat us by 3. That's stupid.
They are the perfect example. You know why they're the perfect example? Because they are the perfect. Mark Richt, Georgia, around that time was the perfect perennial 13-14-ish team because he had the number 8 offense in the country and he had the number 16 defense in the country. Those should average out to a playoff berth, not losing those games and narrowly beating Tennessee like we talked about. And that's why they're the perfect example, because if that's Mark Richt, Georgia wouldn't have had very many playoff-worthy teams. As an example, I'm not hating.
Yeah.
I'm not hating here. I'm saying as an example, they're not your champion. There's a reason that they fell the way they did. And I'm sorry. It's just I go back to, yeah, we'll get them next time. When a championship's on the line, prove it to me at some point by winning your games.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of winning games, let's jump over to 2015 and look at 10 and 2
Yeah.
Northwestern, because this is the one that really jumped off the page to me. They finished 13th in the CFP. They lost by 38 to unranked Michigan. They lost by 30 to Iowa. They lost by us in that bowl game by 39. Dude, that's over 100 points in your
Yeah, it
losses.
is.
And your losses and your wins, you beat Ball State by 5, who went 3-9. You beat Nebraska by 2, who went 6-7. You beat Penn State by 2, who went 7-6. And you beat Purdue by 7, who went 2-10. But this is what you want to expand to. This is really what you want to expand to. You have anything else there on 2015 that you want to look at?
No, dude, that's just more stuff that I don't need in my playoff.
I won't read these all off, but the other one, 14th ranked Michigan in 2015, lost by 29 to Ohio State. Let's get over to 2016. Your 14th ranked team was 8-4 Auburn. 8-4, who lost to Clemson, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Alabama, and they lost to Oklahoma by 16 in their bowl game. But this is what you're gonna do. Who was even quarterback in 16 for Auburn? Was that so
Oh,
yeah, right?
dude, that's a great
I'm
question.
drawing a blank. So what, Nick Marshall's gone at this point.
Nick Marshall's gone. Stidham wasn't there yet, I don't believe.
Is
He
that
could have
that
been,
is it the
but I
Nick
don't.
White kid or oh
Dude,
my gosh, is this Jeremy Johnson's year?
I'll work on it. I don't think so, man. Surely they didn't lose four games with him. Surely they lost more with him.
Okay. I'll keep going while you're pulling that up. 2016, Louisville is your 13th ranked team in the CFP at the end of the season. They lost by 26 to Houston. But let's go ahead and put them in the playoff.
Yeah, dude.
2017 here, let's get
Sean
the
White.
thing.
Sean White.
I said Nick White. Sean White.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Sean White.
Okay. So 2017. 2017 is the year that Alabama won it on the 2nd and 26. Do we really think that 2017, 9-4 Stanford could go toe to toe with Alabama or Georgia that year? I
I
mean,
guarantee you they couldn't. I guarantee you they couldn't.
that
I
this
mean,
was the
those, that's
year,
a.
this was the year where Bama beats Clemson in the semis with a
Yeah.
one-dimensional Clemson. I'm going to take a
Kelly Bryant's
one-dimensional,
Clemson.
yep, I'm going to take a one-dimensional Kelly Bryant Clemson over this 2017 9-4 Stanford team whose offense ranked
Oh, yeah.
38th, whose defense ranked 35th, lost to USC, lost to San Diego State, lost to Washington State, and lost by 3 to USC in the Pac-12 championship game. Oh, but they beat 1-11 Oregon State by 1 and 5-7 Cal by 3.
You know who else they beat? They beat the team that finished number 14 right behind them, Notre Dame, and they beat them by 18 points. Sorry, it just played perfectly. And I just thought of another qualifier for my playoff when I'm commissioner. If you lose to a group of five, you're out. You're out. If you lose to San Diego State
Oh,
or someone
yeah.
like
I
that,
get what you're saying. Okay.
you're out. You're out.
Okay.
Stanford brought that to my mind.
There you go. There you go. All right. As we continue on, I want to just clarify that it's more about the losses as opposed to the score difference. More about the losses. And I think 28 Kentucky is going to give us a great example here. Because 2018 Kentucky finished 14th in the CFP polls. They were 9-3, and they lost by 6 to Texas A&M. They lost by 17 to Georgia, and they lost by 17 to us, to Tennessee.
Five and seven, first year Pruitt us.
We were so bad. We were so bad.
Terrible.
We were
Terrible.
atrocious.
Yeah.
That is a horrible loss. And you're going to look at that and say, yeah. Think you should get a shot.
Inclusion.
Sound like I just cussed. Yeah, exclusion. Yeah. I mean, just this is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. And then you go at 2019 Michigan, who was 9-3, finishing 14th in the CFP polls. 21-point loss to Wisconsin and a 29-point loss to Ohio State. Okay, so 2018, your champion was Clemson.
Yeah.
And in that, you had Clemson. Clemson beat a really good Ohio State, a Justin Fields Ohio State, if I remember right. And then on
I think so.
On the other side was Notre Dame and Bama.
Maybe it was Kyler Murray and OU, and Notre Dame didn't make it that year. I mean, Notre Dame made it over
Alabama, Oklahoma. Yeah. Josh Jacobs, yeah. Those guys, and Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Right? That sounds
– Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay, regardless. How much money are you putting on any of those four over 2018 Kentucky?
Do you know how much pleasure it would bring me to see that Kentucky team try to stop Kyler Murray? And how bad, because they pushed Alabama for a little while. I think Alabama won big, right? But like they pushed them for a little while, I think.
There was a late
and
push.
They, obviously, you had to game plan for Kyler Murray because, I mean, he's, you know, magical when he's on, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just envisioning the scoreboard bleeding is what I'm envisioning because Kentucky's not built to stop that when they're losing to 5-7 Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Giving up a Hail Mary from Jarrett Garantano to Marquez Callaway, not doing a dang – they're not blocking a soul. Oklahoma's defense would have been built for that.
Yeah.
To break Terry Wilson, who just got sacked again. Terry Wilson just went down again. Like, that's what's happening.
Was that when touchdown this game Terry is played year? Out. Was that what that was? Was that touchdown
I think
Terry?
I think it was.
Oh, my
I think so.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I think so.
Bro.
I've talked about Mark Richt Georgia teams. Kentucky's the new that. That's what they are now. Except Georgia did have a higher ceiling still because he would obviously recruit better and have more explosive options. But I'm looking at old Georgia is what I'm looking at because they beat 6-7 Vanderbilt by 7. Georgia was notorious for that. They would lose to them here and there, right? One possession game in the fourth quarter of 1-11 Central Michigan. That's not quite Georgia. But I'm looking at the Richt Georgia, and that's what Stoops has now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you, man. I tell you what jumps off to me, we're talking about 2018 Kentucky, is, you know, we're talking about your game should matter, the conference championship game should matter. You got two losses in your division.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Hey, that's another AQ for me. You're out.
And we're just going to say, oh, whatever, man. Come on in. It's a party. Come on.
That's a new automatic qualifier for me. You're out in my system. You're done.
That's what bugs me about the NFL and their playoff. You know, you can have two divisional foes. You can have, you know, just for conversation, you can have the Bucs and the Falcons play twice in a year and have them meet again in the playoff.
Yep.
Yeah, because everybody wants to see that. Whoop-a-dee.
Wild card weekend because, you know, one team was 10-7 and the other was 9-8, right? So it's whatever, four seed versus the last seed. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get three matchups. It's going to happen.
Oh,
it's going to absolutely happen.
Absolutely happen.
And I don't need it. Never will I need it.
I mean, I
don't care if they're the best two games. The first two games, I don't care if they're the best games I've ever seen. I don't want round three deciding my champion.
It's funny that you say that because we get to, as you mentioned, 2021 Oregon next. As you turn the slide here, it obviously skips 2020. Going to 2021 Oregon, as you pointed out, lost to Utah in the regular season, lost to them in the Pac-12 championship game. Could have arguably ran into them again in a 14-team playoff. And you know what? You've done it twice. Might as well do it a third time. I'll put my money on the Utes. Oh, but you're – But you got to win over 5-7 Cal. And get this, bro. 2021, was that not Herbert? Or did he come out in 2020?
I'll check on that. Keep going, and I'll check on that one too, because I want to say he might have been out.
Okay. All right. 2021, you also have 13th ranked BYU, 9-3, who lost to Boise State, who lost to Baylor and UAB in their bowl game. But you know what? The bowl games don't matter. Those are irrelevant. But you beat 1-11 Arizona and 2-10 USF, 2-10 USF, 4-8 USC, and 7-6 Washington State. Man, just piling up the wins, bro. Powerhouses.
Anthony Brown at quarterback for the Ducks that year.
Oh, okay. So you could send that argument right back in the other direction in 21, and your national champion was Georgia. So are Anthony Brown and that Oregon Ducks, are they really going to hang with Georgia?
Yeah, you know, them and their 75th.
Are they going to hang with an injured Bama?
Yeah, them and their 75th-ranked defense probably getting stops, probably strong enough up front to stymie the run that Georgia wants to cruise right down your throat and then hit you with Brock Bowers and some vicious running backs. Yeah, their 42nd-ranked offense, probably doing well, against that legendary Georgia defense that they had that year, you know, that broke records and didn't allow two touchdowns in hardly any games.
Yeah,
they're doing well. They're doing great. Round three.
Yeah. So then we get to 2022. Bro, and I just love this one. Because at first you look at Oregon State, who went 9-3, and they've got a 26-point loss to Utah and a 3-point loss to Washington and a 3-point loss to USC. All your losses are within your conference. But we're going to let you into a national bracket, but you have 3 losses inside of your conference. Okay. And then we look at the bottom, Florida State. 13th ranked Florida State with losses to Wake Forest, NC State, and Clemson. Do you know what those 3 teams have in common, Michael?
Conference.
Oh, no, it's much deeper than that. Yes. No,
division.
They're all in the same division. Yeah. They're in the same division. This just makes no sense. All right, so let's wrap this up. 2023, 9-3 Arizona, who lost to a bad Mississippi State, 7 to Washington, 2 to USC, but they beat 3-9 Stanford by 1 and 4-8 Colorado by 3. I believe that win over Colorado was one heck of a comeback. Or was that? No, that's Arizona. What am I thinking of? Strong Blake.
It might be Arizona State.
Might be Arizona State. Yeah. No, Stanford is that miraculous comeback against Colorado. But yeah.
Hey.
23 was Michigan. Arizona's going to hold their own against Michigan? Arizona's going to hold.
Oh,
I mean, man. I mean, is this really what we're? I'm okay. So you lost by 7 to Washington. Okay, all right. Washington did this thing throughout the year, you know, there was one game where they won the game and didn't score an offensive touchdown. and that's saying something because I was on the Washington bandwagon this year. So, and then 2023 LSU, who lost by 21 to a Florida State team who should have been in the playoff, 6 to Ole Miss and 14 to Bama. So right there, you've got two playoff teams, Florida State and Bama. And you're just going to look at LSU and say, yeah, you've already lost the 2 playoff teams, but come on in.
Come on in.
You're
82nd ranked defense. You're fine. You're going to figure it out in week, you know, in your 14th game or your 13th game, or at some point, it's going to click for you. Yeah. You know, you're not going to give up. Let's see, you gave up 60 points to Ole Miss. That's not going to happen again, probably. You're not going to face any teams with potent offenses or anything like that. It's going to be fine. Come on in. You got the Heisman winner.
Everything is fine. It's ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. So we're already anti-expansion. Like, we don't think this thing should be going to 12. But now you're going to go ahead and move it to 14. It's pretty much a done deal, right? It's all but
signed. Oh, yeah. Every day I see another step that's been taken online. And I mean, I just throw my phone to a soft spot, you know, because I'm not trying to buy another phone. I throw it up to a soft spot, and I just kind of curse under my breath and wince a little bit. And I wonder why we're doing this to a sport that doesn't need it. I don't get it.
I would much rather them do this on a year-to-year basis and say, you know what, we've got six legit teams. We need to have a 16 playoff. You know what, we got 10 what we believe are playoff teams. Let's do a 10 seed playoff. But just outright 14 every year. And my problem is this, is they're not going to stop. If you went from 12 to 14 that quickly.
Without even playing the 12.
Right. You hadn't even played the 12 yet. You do it that quickly. Where is this going to stop? I have no reason to believe.
I used to think it was 16 is where we were heading. But, you know, to go from 12 to 14 without ever playing a 12, and I think you'll only play one 12 team playoff in 20, maybe two, right? I don't know.
20.
Who knows?
24 and 25, yeah.
To go to 14 unnecessarily without for whatever power grab reasons and money, you know, I used to think it was 16, but I don't see it stopping at 16 now. The whole top 25 ranking going to get in? Is that going to be the eye test?
You might as well, because the other stuff doesn't matter. 25? You might as well. The other stuff doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what kind of teams we're talking about, the teams ranked just under the midway point of your top 25 right now at 14. So let's just include the rest of them as well. I'm sure they're going to get hot just in time to make a run, just like the Giants did, man, just like Eli and the Giants did. Oh, wait, they were professionals. They weren't, you know, a 100th ranked recruiting class or whatever. You know, they aren't Tulane. They're professionals.
No words. Hey, what would you say? Man. I've gotten this question one time. What would you say to the people who would look at you and say, but you're a Tennessee fan? You know, going to 12 and 14 is going to benefit Tennessee. It's going to give them a more consistent shot at the playoffs. What would you say to that?
I've got a thesis. I mean, I've got a novel on that. Okay. It's not going to do me any good to get in at 10 and to get wiped by Georgia again if we've played them, or if they're just a much better team than us that year. Until that changes, they're going to be. It's not going to do me any good to, I don't know. It's not going to be any good for me to see my third or fourth loss come if I'm scraping my way into a 14-team playoff instead of being a 1-4 that might actually have a chance.
Yeah.
It's not going to do me any good didn't think I'd go here. It's not going to do me any good to have an early exit in the CFP when I'm getting that in basketball.
Let's just play the scenario here. 2023, let's say Vols finish 14th. They get the last spot.
Yep.
Is there any team inside that top eight that we're feeling confident against? Because it's a hard
no. Not really.
No.
Yeah, it's a pretty hard no. I mean,
I was going to
ask you, like, am I 2022 Tennessee that was pretty resilient, that had firepower, or am I, you know, am I 2023 Tennessee that you lost one less game and you got in? You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter.
With a healthy Hendon Hooker, 2022, we're top five team.
Yes.
We're top five.
And that's – yeah.
And there's not there, – yeah, I mean – if I'm anybody inside of that 14th team playoff and this is 2022 and Hendon Hooker is healthy, I don't want to play Tennessee. But if I am any other team in 2023, I am going, I want Tennessee.
Absolutely.
Give me them.
Absolutely.
And – I don't want to get into all the details of why and whatnot. We just weren't good. I mean,
right.
8-4, we're just not good. But that's what you're going to let in the playoff. I mean, that's what you're going to let in. So your top four this year was Michigan, Washington,
Michigan,
Bama, Texas, And right there on the door, Georgia, Florida State.
Yep.
I don't feel confident against any of those six.
No. I mean, Florida State was holding teams to 13 points, not having their offense being able to rest their defense and score points.
You're talking about when Jordan Travis was down?
And I'm still not feeling good about it.
That's one like, my
saying I'm still, yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah, still don't like it.
Their defense was legit.
Absolutely was. And I'm of the belief that they should have been in the playoff. So that only strengthens my case for them, not for Tennessee beating them, because I don't think it was happening.
Ridiculous. Just outright ridiculous, all of it. All of it.
I can't believe that obviously the rational fan or the anti-expansion guys like us are looking at things like this. I don't believe a decision maker has considered, okay, what has 13 and 14 been, or what has 12 and 13 been? Because we're going to have a group of five in there. So what has 12 and 13 looked like? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they've considered it.
No, it's dollars driving the whole thing.
Absolutely. We don't need to look at it. It's fine. We'll do it.
What's going to you've got a bunch of people in suits and ties who are looking at the dollar. And people are going to be in for a rude awakening. At least the older generation will, who is in support of the playoff expanding. Be prepared for certain games in the regular season to not matter. Because Alabama, let's just paint a scenario. Let's say they're currently sitting at 11-0, and they've wiped through their schedule.
Yeah, Kalen DeBoer, they're 2020 Bama.
Kalen DeBoer has broken the scoreboard, right, with how many points he's putting up.
Yep.
You could have a scenario where they know that they're in, and some players are going to sit in the Iron Bowl because they're prepping for the next thing, because this game don't matter. We're in.
And in college football, where you don't have to give a detailed injury report like you do in the NFL. And then you get into the territory of, hey, this actually did impact money in terms of who bet on the game. Mm-hmm. Oh, we thought QB1 was playing. Oh, we thought wide receiver one was in. Why is he not in? He's sitting out with, he just wasn't available that day. He had turf toe, or he had a cold. He wasn't feeling it. That's the reason, but he was hurt, and there's no explanation given or required, and Vegas loses. That won't go well. I'm just telling you, that won't go well.
Oh, no.
So
– agreed.
Fans won't handle it rationally, no matter what. They will not handle – this is not the NFL. That happens – what you're describing happens all the time in the NFL. When the one seed, when you're going to be at home through the conference championship,
yep.
You know, you see ones sit all day long. This ain't that. Those fans understand that scenario. It's happened before. Well, wait until it affects an Iron Bowl or your team loses to someone they have no business losing to because you're preparing for a meaningless conference championship game, a playoff round one, whatever it is. You're preparing for that. You're not preparing for the opponent on the schedule that week.
You know, so just to piggyback off this, and we really need to shut this thing down because this has turned into a long one. 2022, Tennessee beating Bama in Knoxville. Another reason that was so sweet is we thought in that time, hey, we've eliminated them from the playoff. We've knocked them out.
Yep.
There's a high chance we've knocked these guys out. This loss hurts.
Yep. It does.
Gone are those days. That's over. That's not going to exist because, I mean, why schedule, you know, a week one or week two, whatever it is, Alabama Tech? Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you do it? But there's no point.
I don't know. Because the field is not so large, like in basketball, which we've been referencing back and forth here. The field is not so large that you can handle, you know, a handful of losses. You can handle two and three and get in. But you're not going to be able to schedule so tough that you may lose, but you may learn a lot about your team. You may learn how to handle that game next time. Well, you can't take that chance if you're only allowed two or three losses. I mean, we're going to see nine conference games eventually, and we're not even going to be worrying about who the other two or three are because they will be so light that it will be unwatchable for 3 weeks instead of two in your non-conference schedule. But the breathing room is not there to schedule a gauntlet. And for college football, it happens so far out in advance. There's no early season tournaments that, you know, I don't know what Wisconsin looks like in 2035 when they're scheduled to come, you know, do a home and home in Knoxville and Camp Randall. It don't work. The sports are not similar enough for it to work.
No, it doesn't. And you might as well just, you know, lighten your load, go 10-2 and save your mojo for when the playoffs start.
Yeah.
So, well, hey guys, thanks for hanging out with us. A little bit of a rant there by both of us. Hope you enjoyed the conversation. We are going to do our darndest to get back into a regular routine of providing you tickle your ear worthy content. And so appreciate your patience with us. We do have real jobs and real lives, and we know that you love the sound of our voice, but so just go back and listen to old episodes. Make sure you tune in and make sure you share this with your friends and your family, your mamas and your papas. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you to our sponsor, Paul Pruitt and Live Oaks Landscape, for supporting the Pandemonium Reigns podcast. I'm Dan. He's Mike. God bless. Go Vols.
Get off our lawn, go be gone.
Pandemonium reigns.